Good evening. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Boy, folks, I got so many responses to last night's broadcast where I just talked about my dog, Crusher. Seems there's an awful lot of people out there who feel the same way about their dogs. And we're really happy to hear what I had to say. You know, I was just trying to let my hair down and get out of the serious vein that the broadcast is normally in and just sort of relax last night because I knew tonight was going to be sort of a heavy. And I'm so happy that so many people enjoyed that broadcast. And I am so thankful that so many of you communicated your feelings about it to me. Now, tonight's going to be in a little bit different vein. You'll see. You know, listen and pay attention and because I think tonight's broadcast is important. I'm also kind of proud of what some of us have accomplished. And you're probably sitting there wondering what in the world is he talking about. Well, you're going to find out. Here's a little hint. Of the news today, I'm sure that some of you have already figured it out. But for those of you that haven't, let me give you a little bit of history. My first broadcast was on satellite on May the 4th, 1992. I didn't think anybody was listening. And it was through the Becker Radio Satellite Network. There were several people who were instrumental in helping getting me on the air. I didn't know any of these people. I just put the word out that I wanted to do a radio show, and I didn't know how to do it. Somebody put me in contact with Gary Bourgeois. I don't even remember who it was. They sent me his name and phone number. I called him. I told him what I wanted to do. And he said, well, I know a guy named Scott Becker who's got a satellite network, and he can put you on satellite. And I said, okay. So he gave me Scott Becker's telephone number, and I called Scott Becker, and by golly, he was really pleased to put me on satellite. And the, you know, the cost, it costs a lot of money to me, you know, to Time Warner or somebody else. It may not have cost very much, but it cost a lot of money to me. And I sat down with Annie, my wife, and I said, Annie, we've got to do this. I just feel in my heart and my soul that it's right. We've got to do it. And she wanted to know how we're going to pay for it. And I said, I didn't know. And she said, well, if you feel that we've got to do it, let's do it. And then if there's no money, we'll stop. And I said, okay. And so we did it. And I made the tapes on videotape. I made the radio show in my home here in Arizona on videotape, and I sent the videotapes to Scott Becker, who then sent them again to someplace in Texas. I think it was Dallas, Fort Worth, somewhere around there. And they played the tapes at a specific time, on specific dates, up on satellite. And then I started getting tons, and I mean tons, of mail from all over the world. And literally, folks, I'm not joking, all over the world, I was shocked that people were actually listening to my broadcast, and it was only on satellite. It was not being broadcast by any regular radio station anywhere in the world. Well, it seems that there's millions of people out there with satellite dishes who like to listen to radio on satellite that you can't hear anywhere else. And they're called dish heads. I learned this from Gary Bourgeois. Gary and I became good friends. Gary helped educate me about what equipment I needed, along with Scott Becker. And then there was another radio show on the Becker Satellite Network, which was called Radio New York International. And Scott hooked me up with Alan Weiner and Johnny Lightning. And they helped educate me about what I needed for my studio and how to get on the air. And once when I traveled to Atlanta and wasn't able to do my regular broadcast in the normal way, through the telephone, Johnny Lightning patched me up live to the satellite, and I was able to do my broadcast live from Atlanta. Now, bear in mind, I've never met any of these people before in my life. They were radio people, and they loved radio. And apparently they liked some of the things that I had to say, and they helped me. And I have been eternally grateful to those four men ever since. And you've heard me thank them many, many times. Scott Becker, Gary Bourgeois, Alan Weiner, and Johnny Lightning. Alan Weiner's history goes way, way back, folks. He was one of the original pirate radio dudes. And he's been in trouble with the FCC so many times, it's not even funny. Can you imagine the look on his father's face, who didn't even know what was going on from the bedroom of his son, when the FCC knocked on the door, showed him paperwork, and marched in and confiscated tons of electrical equipment from Alan Weiner's bedroom when he was a teenager? And it never stopped. And it's just never stopped. Alan Weiner's been doing that all his life. He even bought a ship, an ocean-going vessel, so that he could escape from the jurisdiction of the FCC by taking the vessel out to sea beyond the 12-mile limit and broadcasting from there. Well, due to all kinds of troubles, those things never worked out. And so Alan Weiner finally got a license, and is the proud owner of WBCQ, over which this broadcast is carried worldwide. Literally worldwide. We get letters from Australia, New Zealand, from all South America, Mexico, Costa Rica, all over the Caribbean Ocean. My good friend, Richard, well, I'm not going to say his last name, but my good friend Richard sometimes vacations in the Caribbean. And he has told me that, you know, he and his wife, Barbara, they can lay on the beach down there and turn on their shortwave radio and hear the hour of the time with no problem. And so, eventually, WWCR got wind. I don't know how they got wind. I think a lot of satellite people listening probably wrote or called WWCR and told them, that my broadcast was a good broadcast and lots of people were listening to it. So I went on WWCR at like 1 o'clock in the morning, which was actually Monday morning. Some people say it was Sunday night. It was after midnight, Sunday night, about 1 a.m. Eastern time on WWCR. Late broadcast. And picked up so many listeners just once a week, 1 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning. You know, that's 1 hour after midnight, Sunday night. Just once a week. And I get a call from the operations manager. Not the operations manager. I forget what his function was. But he called me. And he said, you know, your show is more popular than any of the broadcasts that we have, and you're on at 1 o'clock in the morning? What are you telling these people? I said, well, maybe you should listen. He said, we'd like for you to come on in prime time Monday through Friday night. I said, whoa, how much is this going to cost? Well, he gave me a figure that was, it took my breath away. I couldn't even comprehend ever coming up with that kind of money. I told him I'd talk to my wife and get back to him, so I went and sat down and talked to my wife, and we decided that this is what we were supposed to do, and if it was right, the money would come from somewhere. And it did. So we committed ourselves and signed a contract, and with the understanding that if it didn't work out after 30 days, that we would go off the air and go back to what we were doing before. Well, I started broadcasting Monday through Friday night, five nights a week, during prime time on WWCR, 100,000 watts all around the world. And lo and behold, we quickly garnered the largest radio audience in shortwave history, except for the BBC during World War II, when everybody in the world listened to BBC. So, we were only second to the BBC, and only to the BBC during World War II. The BBC now, or then, didn't have anything near the worldwide shortwave listening audience that we did. And we were getting like stacks of mail, tons of mail, and from all over the world. And we stayed on WWCR for a long time. When Waco happened, I went down to Waco and was broadcasting from Waco. I warned the world one day, I was watching, I could see exactly what was going to happen. And so I told the world, if we don't stop this, they're going to murder all of those men, women, and children in that church. They're all going to die. That very same night, arsonists burned WWCR to the ground. Literally, burned it to the ground to shut me up. Well, I went to WRNO in New Orleans, who immediately picked up the broadcast, and we continued broadcasting. So, they did not shut us up. In fact, there was not even 24 hours went by until we were on the air again. And then when WWCR rebuilt their studios and their transmitters, we went back to WWCR and stayed with them until the operations manager of the station had continually lied to me over and over and over again. His name is George McClintock. The man is one of the most terrible personalities I've ever met in my entire life. Absolutely impossible to deal with this person. He had lied to me over and over and over again. I mean, blatant, bold-faced lies that as soon as another hour became available, that I would be able to broadcast for 2 hours a night. That's what I wanted to do at that time on that station. And time kept coming available all the time, and I was never informed until it was sold to somebody else. I would complain about it, and he would promise me that the very next time that time came, and I wanted earlier time, and Tom Valentine was right before me, so unless Tom Valentine went off the air, I wasn't going to get earlier time, even though I could get an additional hour. Well, lo and behold, eventually Tom Valentine left the airwaves. He said he was retiring, and he left the airwaves. And that time came open, and George McClintock absolutely refused to let me have any of that time. And so, in light of the fact that he had been lying to me for all of those months and years that I'd been faithfully paying for broadcast time on his station, I left WWCR. And that's the real reason why I left WWCR, regardless of what you've ever heard. It's the truth. I went to satellite, and I remember that back in 1992, a man had come to me named Bill Dugan. His name was Bill Dugan, and he had a low-power FM station down in Phoenix somewhere, broadcasting out of his home. He was a brave man. He loved freedom. He wasn't a part of any so-called patriot movement or anything else. He just understood what freedom was all about. And he built a low-power FM broadcasting station and was broadcasting to his neighborhood. And the FCC came and knocked on his door and told him that he was in big, deep trouble and sent him a a notice of apparent violation and a notice that he was going to be fined $11,000 and all kinds of things. Well, Bill Dugan is not the kind of person that was going to lay down and take this crap. And that's exactly what it was, crap. It was bullshit. And he wasn't going to take it. Bill Dugan believed that the airwaves belonged to all Americans and that he had a right to broadcast because he had a right to free speech guaranteed by the Constitution. And so in fishing around trying to find out how he could deal with this and successfully challenge the FCC on these issues, he found lots of pirate people who had been harassed and fined by the FCC, and their stuff had been taken, and there was one station in Berkeley, California that had successfully got a judgment against the FCC. All of these agencies are bogus, folks. An injunction against the FCC and was still broadcasting. You can find all this information on our website. Just go down to Radio Broadcasting and click on that, and then go to Micro Broadcasting and click on that, and then go to Legal Documents and click on that, and just read everything you can find. Or just go to our homepage, click on Enter, and then on the Hot Links page, the first page that comes up when you click on Enter, you'll find a story about tonight's broadcast, what tonight's broadcast is all about. And you'll find a whole bunch of links there. If you go to all those links and study everything that you find, then you're going to wake up real quick. So somebody told Bill Dugan about me. They said, if there's anybody in this world who knows what these guys can do and what they can't do, it's Bill Cooper. So call him. And they gave him my phone number. So he called me, told me what was going on, and asked me if I knew anything about the law. And I said, well, it depends upon your version of the law. Do you believe that the Constitution for the United States of America is the supreme law of the land? And he said, yes, absolutely. I said, then in that case, I know everything about the law. He said, can I come up and visit with you? I said, it would be my pleasure. Please, come on up. So he came up and he spent a whole day with Annie and I and Pooh at that time. Allison wasn't born yet. And we sat down and talked, and he showed me all the stuff from the FCC, and he showed me the letters that he'd written to the FCC and what he had planned to do. And I yanked him up short real quick. I said, listen, Bill, I know all you guys, because there had been pirates for many years who knowingly believed that the FCC did actually have the authority to license and regulate broadcasting. But they also believed that the freedom of speech had something to do with it, and so they would set up these clandestine radio stations and call themselves pirates and would broadcast whatever their version of what they liked as music or just talking or whatever it was that they wanted to say or wanted people to hear. They were doing that. They openly called themselves pirates, which was a big mistake. They claimed that the lawfulness of what they were doing was based on free speech and all of those kinds of things, which were all the wrong arguments. And so I stopped Bill and I said, Bill Dugan, listen to me very carefully. Free speech has absolutely nothing to do with this. They're saying that they have the right to regulate your broadcasting or prevent you from broadcasting unless you have a license. And if you have a license, that they have the power to regulate your broadcasting, what you broadcast and how you do it, what kind of equipment you use and all this kind of stuff. Is that right? He said, yes, that's exactly right. And I said, then the question is not free speech. It's not free speech at all. The question is whether or not they have the authority and the power and the jurisdiction to do that. And we can figure that out just by reading the Constitution. And the truth is, the Constitution only gives the Federal Communications Commission and most other government agencies the power to license and regulate things that deal specifically in interstate and international commerce, period. That's it. End of subject. Is your broadcast going across state or international borders? He said, no. I said, are you selling advertisements on your station? He said, well, I'd like to, but I think maybe 3 or 4 people are listening, and so nobody's going to pay money to advertise on my station. I said, are you paying for programming? He said, no. I said, is anybody paying you to be on your broadcast? He said, no. I said, it really doesn't matter. If you're not going over state or international boundaries, you're not engaged in interstate or international commercial broadcasting, which is the only thing that the FCC has the authority and jurisdiction to license and regulate. And he looked at me real strange, and he says, you know, I never thought of that. I said, you know, did you ever read the Constitution before? He looked at me real strange again. He says, well, I might have, but I don't really remember. I might have in school. I said, well, that's one of the plagues upon this country, is that people don't understand what this country is all about. They haven't read the Constitution, and they're basically ignorant. I call them sheeple. He said, well, I guess I'm one of your sheeple then, and I'm sure glad I came up here. And so we sat down and formulated an aggressive method of him to go back and attack the FCC for infringing upon his right to broadcast intrastate, commercial or otherwise. You see, if you're broadcasting inside the borders of your state, whether it's commercial or non-commercial doesn't make any difference. The FCC only has the power to regulate interstate and international commercial broadcasting. So conversely, if you're broadcasting across state lines or international borders and your broadcasting is not commercial in any way, they don't have the power to regulate it or license it or anything else. So he went back to Phoenix and he challenged them on these issues, and by golly, guess what? The FCC backed off. And as far as I know, he's still broadcasting. It's the only issue involved. I did a couple of programs on the air about Bill Dugan and his station and what the issues really were. it's not about free speech. It's not about any of these things. It's about the federal government coming out of its bounds, reaching out beyond the limitations of the Constitution, committing tyranny against the American people, operating under the color of law instead of the real law, destroying people, preventing us from broadcasting when we have the right to broadcast, and lots of other things. The IRS, I mean, you name it, the FBI, they're all engaged in these things, all of them. The tiger has escaped from its cage, and we have to put it back. So, I had a great idea. I purchased 24-hour-a-day satellite time. And back that was back when we could afford to do that. And started the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. And I began broadcasting, teaching people about low-power radio and how it is lawful and constitutional and within our right to set up low-power FM stations in our states and broadcast whatever the hell we want to broadcast. And the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network was going to be set up to provide free programming for anybody that wanted to carry it who wanted to do that. We made up a packet of information of where people could get transmitters, how to set up their antenna, all of these things, what equipment they would need in their radio station, and what the law was concerning this kind of stuff. And I had several broadcasts teaching people how to go about it, what the law was, how to defend themselves against the FCC if the FCC came knocking. And it exceeded my wildest dreams. Over 750 low-power FM stations were built following those broadcasts. All of those people sent to us, and we sent them packets of information. They set up their radio stations, and they began broadcasting. And they were carrying the programming of the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Well, unfortunately, I was kind to a couple of people, Chris Gerner and Jackie Patru, who got together as collectivists because they did not like my prohibition against broadcasting rumor. There was a rule on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network that if you wanted to broadcast on that network at the low rates that we were charging, lowest in the nation, nobody has ever had such low rates before, that you had to broadcast the truth and you had to be able to prove whatever it was that you said on the air. You had to document it and source it. Well, these people couldn't do that. They couldn't do it, and they know they couldn't. They knew they couldn't do it, and they're still not doing it. Some of you have listened to them broadcast. So as collectivists, they got together like the little communists that they are, and they told other people not to come and get on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network because Bill Cooper's a tyrant, and he won't let you broadcast what you want to broadcast. He has this rule that you have to be able to prove whatever it is that you say on the air. Well, I thought that was really reasonable. And it wasn't tyrannical at all. And since I owned the network, I had a right to make whatever rules I wanted to make. And I thought, gee, this will be great because it'll be the first radio network in the history of the world where people can come and listen and count on hearing the truth and not the rumors and not somebody reading a fax that they just ripped out of a fax machine or some other bullshit rumor crap, you know, like you're hearing from all these other people. And so we were unable to get any new people to come on and take airtime. And we had other programs. We had Michael Cottingham, The Hour of the Time was there, Jackie Patru, Chris Gerner, and there were a couple of other people. But it wasn't enough to even meet our expenses for the satellite time for 24 hours a day. So that was the end of the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. And you can thank Chris Gerner and Jackie Patru for that. And you can listen to them anytime you want to on the Genesis Communications Radio Network. And I, you know, if you're one of these people who like to hear rumors and bullshit and crap you know, please go listen to them. I will advertise them for you to go listen to because I think if you're that kind of people, you should be listening to them and not me. So, but we did manage and succeeded to create over 750 low-power FM stations all across this country due to the hour of the time. Some of them have become really big stations and have successfully challenged the jurisdiction of the FCC and are still broadcasting today. 101.1 FM in Eager, Pastor Strawcutter up in Michigan, Monty Butterfield, Radio Free Vermont, very popular station in Vermont, has successfully made the FCC get back in its cage, and many others. many others. And most of these stations are still broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen, and I am so proud of those people. I am so very proud of all of them. And I'm really proud that I was able to instigate that kind of a grassroots movement that took hold in this country and ultimately caused the FCC to admit defeat. And that's what this broadcast is really all about. The FCC has just released a press release that they are now going to create and make available a license for low-power FM broadcasting organizations in the 10-watt to 100-watt category that they haven't had in a long, long time and was forbidden. And they did this because of our movement and what we did and our successful challenges to their jurisdiction. Now, they did it in a sneaky fraud in order that we all might feel grateful that they've done this, that we might compromise our position on the law and agree to accept their license and their jurisdiction. It is, without any doubt, an admission of defeat by the FCC. But at the same time, it's a sneaky way to get people to give up their sovereignty and their right and submit to their jurisdiction. Because the moment you take a license from the FCC, you are agreeing to give up your sovereignty, to give up your state citizenship and become a United States citizen, and accept the tyranny of not only the FCC, but the entire federal government. And that's why all these ham operators that are so proud of their ham license are the biggest. You know, there was a time when they weren't fools, when we all believed that the federal government wasn't screwing with us and this was all the right thing to do. But they've all been educated now. They all know better. They're one of the biggest groups of fools in this country. But don't go away. I'll be right back because there's lots more to talk about, and then we're going to open the phones. This is for you, Lula. Wow, that's one of the greats in the mood. And it's one of the favorites of a good friend of mine, Lula. She's 87 years old. You might remember I did a birthday broadcast for her when she on her 87th birthday. And so whenever I think of it and get a chance, I like to play that for her. I don't know if she's listening. Sometimes she doesn't stay up this late. Sometimes she falls asleep and doesn't listen. But if she's listening, I know she really likes that, so I play it for her. And I had a treat. Crusher came in and gave me a big, giant hug, and then he, you know, sort of hung around for a few minutes, so I told him to lay down, and now he's lying right here at my feet. And you've never been hugged in your life till you've been hugged by Crusher. And I just really, you know, he's a dog that likes to hug. Some dogs like to lick. Some dogs like to jump in your lap. Crusher will hug you. Like your long-lost grandmother would hug you. Wonderful, loving hug. It's just incredible. But back to our subject for tonight. The FCC wants to con us into feeling some sort of gratitude. You know, why should we feel gratitude for being conned into tyranny? You see, we have the right to broadcast without a license under the conditions that we are broadcasting intrastate, which means within the borders of a state, not crossing any state or international boundaries if we're broadcasting commercially. You see, there's no ban against broadcasting commercially if you're broadcasting within your state. And according to Article 10 of the Bill of Rights, it is up to the state to regulate the broadcasting within that state, the intrastate broadcasting, should the state government so desire. So far as I know, there is no state in the union that has any oversight committee or body or agency that regulates intrastate broadcasting. And as long as you do not interfere with any other broadcasting of any kind. And you have to be very careful about that. Because if you're broadcasting on one frequency and you have a dirty, what we call a dirty transmitter, you don't have the proper filters and things like that, you may be creating harmonics on other frequencies which could interfere with communications between airplanes and airplanes on the ground and police communications and all kinds of things, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. What we want to do is broadcast lawfully, constitutionally, so that our voices may be heard. Voices that would not otherwise ever be heard because of the stranglehold of corporate America and socialism on the establishment media. You all know what I'm talking about. All of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not, and neither are any of the people involved, taking credit for all of those who pioneered trying to get their voices heard throughout the history of the regulation of the FCC, like Alan Weiner and many others who called themselves pirate broadcasters. They didn't understand the law. They didn't really understand the Constitution, and if they had understood it, they could have successfully fought these battles and won a long, long time ago. But they were the pioneers. They were the ones who saw a need and went out and tried to fill that need. Not just their own need, but the needs of the community or what they believed was the need of the community. Many of them spent many years in jail. They also didn't understand that by calling themselves pirates or pirate radio, they were admitting or confessing their guilt. Because to call yourself a pirate is to admit that you are an outlaw, a lawbreaker, someone who is going against the established rightful and lawful authority. So you can't ever do that. You can't call yourself a pirate. And you must operate strictly within the bounds of the Constitution and of the law. So I am absolutely taking 100% credit, along with all those people who listened to those broadcasts and went out and laid themselves on the line by purchasing the equipment, setting up their radio stations, broadcasting to their communities. Some of them were harassed. Some of them had their doors broken down in the middle of the night and all of their equipment confiscated against the Constitution. Some of them paid stiff fines of $11,000 or more. Some of them had to hire expensive lawyers to defend themselves in court. But most of them are still broadcasting. Still broadcasting. I am so proud of all of you. You weren't couch potatoes. You didn't sit around and say, "What can I do? I'm just one lonely human being. I got a family to support. I don't have any money." I got to tell you, folks, we all had families to support. None of us had any money. All of us were taking a risk without exception. All of us to set up our radio station spent money that probably would have been better spent elsewhere. All of us knew that we could land in jail. Every single one of us, all 750 plus low power FM stations across this country. But we all knew we were right in the law, and the FCC has now admitted it. When they came out and said they were going to grant licenses to all of us who wanted to apply and accept their license for low-power FM stations, they admitted they were beat. And this is their end run. This is their attempt. This is their fraud to try to regain control and exert their tyranny over those of us who so successfully rebelled against them. And I tell you, no! No, not ever. Don't you budge an inch. They're whipped. They're beat, and they know it. And that's the only reason they did this. They did not do it in response to a great public outcry asking for community radio, for voices to be heard that can never be heard on any other station. It's a response to the fact that we kicked their ass, and they know it. Don't give up now. And what they're going to ask you to do is pay $1,000 or more and agree that you will only use FCC-approved equipment in your broadcast stations, which will cost you untold thousands of dollars more, in order to be able to get their license. And in their initial press release, they're saying it's not available to individuals, but only organizations, schools, churches, and community organizations. So they are attempting, once again, to exert their tyranny. And I am telling you, no, no, stand upon the law, stand upon the Constitution. Don't give up now, because this new license that they're coming out with is an admission of their defeat. You see, if we hadn't beat them, if so many stations had not challenged their jurisdiction and won, they would never have done this in a million years. The National Association of Broadcasters is dead set against it. You see, the FCC knows they have to do something, or they're going to lose control altogether of the airwaves intrastate, which means within each of the 50 states of the United States of America. And I'm telling you, they've already lost it. If the states want to exert control over the airwaves within their jurisdiction, I'm all for it. Remember, folks, we support the law, and so should you. And if the states want to do that, then you better get on the air, because when the states start regulating broadcasting within their borders, they will grant grandfather licenses. If you're already on the air, you'll get a license. No problem. But the federal government has no jurisdiction, no authority, no nothing, period, over interstate commercial or non-commercial broadcasting, intrastate, within the state. If you're not engaged in commercial broadcasting, which means you're not accepting payment for any broadcasting, you're not paying for any broadcasting, you're not accepting money for commercials, You're not accepting money of any kind or charging money of any kind for the broadcasting that you do. As far as the Constitution is concerned, you can broadcast anywhere at any time, even around the world. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. So I want to thank all of you who helped us fight this tremendous battle. And we fought it. We fought it. Nobody else fought it. Nobody else was on the front line with us. Nobody else was cheering us. Nobody else was writing the FCC saying make it legal. Nobody else was doing anything. We did it, and we can be proud of it. But we must stand firm. Don't give in and go pay them $1,000 or more for a license that you don't need. The law does not require. And the only reason that I can think of for you to get it is if you're really scared they're going to come and bust down your door tonight. You know what I say about that? If I'm a criminal, I'm going to expect them to bust down my door and I'll deserve it. But if I'm not a criminal and they come and bust down my door in the middle of the night, I'm going to kill those bastards the minute they step foot over my threshold. And the only alternative they're going to have is to kill me first. I will not bow to tyranny, not tonight, not next week, not next year, not ever. And neither should you. And if all Americans felt this way, the tyranny would end immediately. Because there's not one single one of those tyrants who want to get killed. And there's not one of us who are law-abiding citizens who want to break the law. Now, I hope you all understand what tonight's broadcast was all about. It's about freedom. This is, and always has been, a ministry of freedom. And if you never understood that, you better understand it now. I am a messenger. And my message is very, very clear. Tell the truth. Support freedom. Are you going to be a slave in the New World Totalitarian Socialist Order? The phones are open, folks. 520-333-4578. It's 520-333-4578. You can get all the information that you need or want from our website about tonight's broadcast subject, williamcooper.net. That's williamcooper.net. Go there. It's our lead story. It's the news. And by golly, you'll learn more than you ever dreamed you could ever learn about radio broadcasting, about the government, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all those things. She likes Rudy Valley. It's so great. The most happy enough to feel her better than you. Why should you care? No, it's like a bomb here tonight. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Yes. Bill, just like to make a few comments.
Great.
Great show tonight.
Thank you.
And I would like, Mrs. Matt, I'd like to say one or two things. If you are operating in such a way where they have no jurisdiction over you, I know your site concerns low power, micro power, but if you're operating in such a way that you're not interfering with anyone else, then whether it's 100 milliwatts or 10 watts or 500 watts, it's none of the FCC's business.
That's correct.
There's another thing I would like to say concerning intrastate commercial activity, although in theory they have no jurisdiction over it.
They don't, period.
Let me tell you what would happen in practice.
No. We're not talking about practice. When they do it, it's under the color of law.
Yes.
Unlawful, unconstitutional. It sucks. They're tyrants. They're criminals. They're Nazi jackbooted thugs, and we don't accept it. And we're not going to bow to it. We don't give a damn how many times they do it.
No, it's, what I'm trying to tell you is...
You're trying to scare people.
No.
Then why are you even, why are you doing this?
Listen to me. This is a technical point, but this is what they would do.
We don't care what they would do. We have to say no. Doesn't matter what they do. If it's unlawful, if it's under the color of law, if it's unconstitutional, we stand and we say no. And if we have to go to jail or die, then that's what we need to do. Screw the technicalities.
I'm speaking about sporadic propagation when your intrastate signal might go to another state.
It's not going to go to another state if you're on FM.
Yes, it can.
No, it can't. That's why we promoted FM. FM is line of sight. A 10-power FM station will only go about 4 miles. A 100-watt power FM station will only go about 7 miles. I know what I'm talking about.
Ever hear about tropospheric ducting?
My friend, take a hike.
Very well.
If you're broadcasting on AM with 5 watts, you can broadcast to Europe from Arizona. No problem. If you're on FM, ladies and gentlemen, and you have 10 watts, you're not going much more than 4 miles. If you have 100 watts, you're not going much more than 7 miles. If you put your antenna on top of a mountain, you might go 15 or 20 miles, but you're not going any farther than that. Tropospheric induction be damned, and all this other kind of stuff. And if you're a defeatist, then, you know, go away. Don't do it. Go stick your head in the sand. Go crawl under your covers and hide. We're going to succeed. Come hell or high water. Period. We're free people with rights guaranteed by the Constitution. The government is limited by the Constitution, which they have thrown in the trash, exceeded their boundaries, and are engaging in tyranny against all of us, all over the country, everywhere, all the time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. I'd just like to find out your opinion as to when this totalitarian government will be here.
It's already here.
By what generation?
It's already here.
It's already here.
It's already here. Have you ever read the Constitution?
Yes.
What's Article 4, Section 4?
That we have the right to a free government.
That's not what it says. It's not what it says at all.
Well, which one? I'm sorry now. What does it say?
What's the First Amendment say? You see, you lied to me. Go back, read the Constitution, learn it. If you don't, you're not an American. You don't even know what your country is. You don't know who you are. You don't know what rights you have. Nothing, period. You're helpless.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I hate to be so blunt to you folks, but it's the truth. Most of you are so stupid, it's unbelievable. You're dumber than your own pets. I am constantly amazed that the human race has made it this far. I really am. Especially Americans. The greatest disappointment in my life was to find out the truth about the mental condition of the American people, whom I had so admired and had so much faith in all my life. I didn't learn it until I started broadcasting and taking calls and getting letters. I had no idea the people in this country had been so dumbed down, so stupidized, were so ignorant and so apathetic when our grandfathers had it all together. And that's the truth. Now, tonight, there's going to be a total eclipse of the moon. It's going to be in the Earth's shadow from about 9:10 Eastern until about 20 minutes after midnight tonight. And during that time, they say for some strange reason, the moon is going to turn red. It's going to be a communist moon tonight. So, you should all get a chance to see it. During that time, from a few minutes after 9, until 20-some-odd minutes after midnight, the moon is going to be in the Earth's shadow, and the astronomers tell us that it's supposed to be red. It should be interesting, and everybody in the country should have a chance to see it. So go out and take a look and observe the total eclipse of the moon. And, gee, I really thought we'd have... really thought we'd have some good calls on this subject tonight, and what do we get? You see? You guys make me want to just, you know, if there was a bar next door, you guys make me want to go next door and just stay there.
At the bar, drinking all night long. That's really what you, I can't express it. I'm just totally dumbfounded.
Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. And you need it. You really need it. We all need it. We all need a blessing. But most of all, we need to wake up. We need to educate ourselves. We need to stop being stupid. Stop being ignorant. Stop being apathetic. Stop bitching and complaining. Do something. Like all those people did when they set up their radio stations and challenged the might of the federal government. And won. Good night, Annie Pooh and Allison. I love you. Those of you who participated in our great experiment, thank you. I so admire you, and I'm so proud of each and every single one of you. We won. You should be very proud of yourselves.
I was late.
You're listening to 101.